Why don't you run outside and jerk yourself a soda?
Teenager, I listen to them on the way home from work. Don and Mike on WJFA. Teenager.
Serving America since 1985. The Don and Mike Show 10th anniversary.
Oh, happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. For a cheerful toast and fill it. Happy anniversary. But be careful you don't spill it. Happy anniversary. Oh, happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. Oh, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary. Oh, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary. We now say emphatically, it's happy anniversary. Not another day could be a happy anniversary. Oh, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy, happy. Happy, 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 happy anniversary.
All right, knock it off.
A decade of service. The 10th anniversary of the Don and Mike Show.
All year long, summer long on WABA.
14 Washington area couples celebrated Valentine's Day the old-fashioned way this morning. They got married. How romantic. But it was not your basic run-of-the-mill wedding ceremony. No, ma'am. This was a wedding to remember. It was a solemn ceremony. Sort of.
And it's the video revolution. We're being videotaped from every conceivable angle right now.
How long is this limo? How long is this limo?
Like
68 feet of limo. Unbelievable.
Excuse me. Why are you marrying us?
And the couples gathered for only the most solemn of reasons.
We're thinking about going to Las Vegas and do it. But we figured that this would be even tackier than that. So we went with that.
Nervous family members assembled under a wedding tent and shared in the emotional moment of the occasion.
Well, she's 8 months pregnant. She's in next month.
Right, have it here.
First time in my life I ever rode in a limousine. But he paid for it and made it feel good. But I thought, gee whiz, the first time. And he's bringing me to a parking lot.
The wedding vows were slated to begin at 7 a.m. in the parking lot of the WAVA radio station studios on Lee Highway in Arlington. The families were there more or less on time.
Right now, he's about 25 minutes late. He was supposed to be here by 7.
I already backed into their car this morning. No, I'm not nervous.
Everyone remained cool, calm, and collected.
He's going to walk down the aisle and break my neck and bust my legs.
The Reverend.
This is like a Super Bowl where they introduce him. What is your name, sir?
Andrew Blanco.
It's Andrew.
Go.
All right.
My name's
Mark Cortina.
Thank you, Mark.
Go. Marriage is a joyous occasion, and it brings to mind all those thoughts of home, loved ones, friendship, good times, happiness, longevity. I take the man's name to my wedded husband.
The ceremony was broadcast live on Don and Mike's Morning Drive radio show. And after all 28 vows had been said, Don and Mike showed their appreciation to the Valentine couples by dunking themselves in a vat of Hershey's chocolate.
I'm in here! Yeah!
The newlyweds celebrated with a first-class, grade-A, top-drawer reception right next door at Roy Rogers.
That's why we're this news at four.
Stay tuned now as the news continues with J.C. Hayward and Bob Aldridge. We'll see you tomorrow. Happy Valentine's Day.
Now, we're 10. The Don and Mike Show 10th Anniversary Special.
The Denise Huxtable Show, the Lisa Bonet Show, comes on after Cosby.
Yeah, the Lisa I'm Sound Asleep Show. She's lame. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're going to go out on a limb and predict that this new Cosby show is going to be super more.
Oh, my goodness. Can you get the tape?
Frank, give me that disclaimer. You want to know something? That's the first time I have ever done that in my life.
I did not mean to say that.
I did not mean. We had had almost the same exact discussion 20 seconds before we turned the microphone.
That is correct.
And I'm sorry. I have never said that word. And as a matter of fact, it just slipped right out, and I didn't even notice it. But I think now you know my true feelings on Denise Huxtable and Lisa Bonet. It's not going to be
that good. We don't really like it.
It's going to be kind of boring, I think, actually.
Sorry, I can't. Can we play some commercials, please?
Mike's 10th anniversary special.
Paramount Pictures, in association with Schmooze Vision, presents a Golden Globus film in the tradition of Goodman the movie, The Last Temptation of Alan Goodman, and The Lucky Man. Alan Goodman is the decision maker.
Hold my calls. I got a big fish on the phone.
The decision maker. The story of Alan Goodman and his day-to-day struggle as captain of the WAVA power ship.
I got a crisis here. Be it ever unhappy. Barbara, code blue. Give me the lawyers on the phone.
The decision maker chronicles the day-to-day activities of WAVA General Manager Alan Goodman as he steers the good ship WAVA down the winding road of inter-office turmoil.
Hey, what the hell is it? Am I running a radio station or a candy store? That's it. No more hands in the cookie jar.
The tension of the decision maker will stun you. The force of the decision maker will astound you. The compassion of the decision maker will confuse you.
I know we're running short of parking spaces. I'm doing the best that I can, okay, sweetie?
Don't miss The Decision Maker, starring screen legend Alan Goodman in his finest performance ever.
I know they want a new contract. Everybody wants a new contract. I want a new contract. Come on, somebody help me.
The Decision Maker. The problems are tough. The solutions aren't easy. Coming this Christmas.
I'm not feeling very well. I think I'm going to go home.
Don't miss The Decision Maker.
You're rocking in the new year with the Hot 105 of 85 on WAVA. Arlington, Washington, Maryland, and Virginia's all-hit 105. A decade of service. The 10th anniversary of the Don and Mike Show.
Geronimo.
And I'm Mike O'Mara.
And we are fat.
We are white.
We are Catholic.
And we are sick about it.
And the very special first guest star, ladies and gentlemen, Emmanuel Lewis.
Can we have a round of applause for him, please?
Thank you, Emmanuel.
He's Emmanuel.
Nice to see you.
We spared no expense to get our first guest star. It's very nice to have you with us, Emmanuel.
Right.
Wait for the crowd, will you, please?
Get out of here, kid.
Okay, run along now.
Get out of here, kid, right now.
Morning Zoo.
Now, We're 10, the Don and Mike Show 10th Anniversary Special.
Don and Mike, we're 10.
Like my brother.
Wow, that was fast. That was the fastest bunch of tapes I ever played with the organ. So here's Buzz Burbank with a word for the kiddies after 10 years of loyal listening. Hi, Buzz.
The following program contains adult language and scenes with partial nudity. Viewer discretion is advised.
Live from the Decade Room. Inside the Service Center, in scenic, beautiful, and really toothless Fairfax, Virginia, it's the Don and Mike Show. Starring Don Geronimo and featuring Mike O'Mara with Buzz Burbank, Diana Seelman, Sherry Licker, C.L. Broyhill, along with Bobo Spiewak and the Don and Mike family of tofu-eating dropouts from society with gray hair.
Everywhere.
Today.
It's 10 years.
It was 10 years ago today.
10 years of working with you has turned my genitals gray.
The world was changed forever. 10 years ago today, we started working together. And today, we celebrate the greatest partnership in the history of radio.
That's right.
The Don and Mike Show.
Bully for us! Bully!
A decade of service.
Bully!
Do you remember December 11th, 1985? The debut of the new Morning Zoo on 105 WAVA. Joining us today on our celebration show, our original cast and crew, including David Haynes, Johnny Nolan, and Special K. Plus, former DJs like Jim Elliott, TK Tom Kent, Gene Baxter, and Rusty Ford. Former Pinhead program directors like Smokey Rivers and Alan Burns. Our former producer, Frank Murphy.
Oh, we dug him up at the dog secretary, dog cemetery.
And our first general manager, Alan Goodman.
Yeah.
Tapes of our first show together and memories of all the great bits, plus all the fights and feuds with other DJs, celebrities, and the Washington Post.
Hate that newspaper.
10 years ago, they said it wouldn't last. 10 years ago, they said we'd burn out. 10 years ago, they said we'd never be syndicated. 10 years ago, they said we'd kill each other.
We didn't.
They were all wrong because we have made it through 10 joyous years of radio excellence together. And today, we invite you to join in the biggest celebration since Bob Hope's 90th birthday party.
I want to tell you.
The 10th anniversary of the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, yeah.
A decade of service.
That's right.
You can sit and listen and enjoy, or you can get involved by calling 1-800-529-9900 to order The World of Don and Mike, our interactive CD-ROM, still priced to move at just $39.99. You must order now to ensure Christmas delivery. No better way to celebrate a decade of service than by calling with Einen Finger at 1-800-529-9900. Use your Visa, MasterCard, American Express, Discover, or Diners Club. And thank you, Power Max Hard.
You remember Power Max, don't you?
Along with the Don and Mike disease of the day.
Oh, am I ready after 10 years? Lay it on me, Big Dad Day.
Today, arthritis.
We used to work with him.
But enough of that,
old Art.
It's on with the tomfoolery and hijinks, and without further ado, let the big old, bad old cartoon begin.
So here he is with his big jukebox, the number one man of all the jocks.
Hey,
hey, Mr. Record Man, what we need to turn up the sound on the record machine. Roll back the rugs and stand up, folks.
Stand up, Sherry.
Here comes the man with the music and jokes.
Oh, sorry. Oh, good, Sherry.
He's gonna play the top 10 and the bottom 50.
Oh, Susan Lucci.
You know his taste. It's oh so nifty. So let's start to swing.
Swing.
And let's start to sway.
Sway.
Here comes the guy with the records to play.
Come here, Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
K. KHTK Sacramento.
Hello via the Westwood One Radio Network throughout North America. Don Geronimo with Mike O'Mara and Buzz and Sherry and Guyana and Robe and Broy Hill and Alex Cleveland and Scott the Dwarf. And
here we are.
All I got to say is 10 years ago, the Washington Post said it would never last.
That's right.
Well, how about that?
Yeah.
It lasted. It flourished. It blossomed. It bloomed.
It festered.
It stabbed.
It fell off and then grew back again.
Ah, sure. There were times when we could have just let it scab over. But we didn't. We didn't.
We just kept picking.
We picked and picked and picked until it became infected. Now look what we've got now. 10 years of doing this goofy radio show.
10 years ago, they said we wouldn't be alive today.
God, we've proved them wrong. Of course, I've got a baboon's heart right now. But beyond that, I'm A-okay.
That's right. I've got a ceramic skull.
But other than that, we're actually quite excited. Apparently,
I'm nervous.
Apparently, nobody else that works here is excited, but we are excited.
All these old tapes, I mean, I feel as though we're starting all over again. It's a weird feeling. I was very nervous coming in here today.
I was on the phone over the weekend with some people who worked with us 10 years ago and some of our competitors,
right,
from 10 years ago. I'm hoping when Jim Elliott, the first disc jockey that we bounced off in the ratings,
yeah,
the first guy that we ever played mean tricks on, like sending him luggage and sending him black roses,
mm-hmm,
and calling him when he was on the air just to tell him that he sucks. I hope that he remembers some of the things that people were saying about us back in 1985 when we started working together, how it would never last.
Right.
We burn out all the good material on the first day.
Yeah, the only blemish on this 10-year anniversary show is the fact that the guy that said all that rotten stuff about us is still writing the radio column for the Washington Post, and he's the one that all along has said it wouldn't last.
And he's the one who won't have anything in his column tomorrow about a decade of service.
No, absolutely not. Why should he do that? Why should he change?
Which is what we very humbly are calling the past 10 years,
yep,
a decade of service, and now we begin our second decade.
That's right. And, wow, let them say it again. We will not live to see the 20th anniversary.
And they might be right about that.
I think, yeah, I'd actually bet on that one myself.
But I think the show will continue rolling. Thank you for listening. Thank you especially for listening for the last 10 years. Now, I know that there have got to be some people out there. I know because we get calls and we get letters all the time, people who were even listening BM,
mm-hmm,
before Mike, but we're just going to keep this to the last 10 years that we've been working together as America's favorite DJ couple. There have got to be people out there who listened to that very first show and have been listening daily since.
You know, during the pre-show, you played something that was a production element for the station, and you pointed at me, and I didn't even know it was me. You pointed at me,
yeah,
and said, that's what I used to do, and I forgot. I killed the cell that remembered that.
It's the top 105 hits of 1985 on Power 105.
I was a production guy.
Yeah, that's how we got together. I had worked in Washington many, many years before. I had come back to this radio station, WAVA, was doing the afternoon show. Their morning show sucked. They said to me, "You want to move to mornings?" I said, "Yes." I said, "You know, there's this guy." I won't tell the story about the box again and the vomit. Right. So there's this guy who's like been palling around, and I'd like to try to work with him. Mm-hmm. And that is the truth of how all of this was born. And now 10 years later. We're still doing great.
It's amazing, but it's true.
Now, the show today is going to be based largely on 10 years ago today.
Right.
We're going to have lots of tapes, lots of memories of our first show, of which we have plenty of tapes,
mm-hmm,
from 10 years ago.
Right.
You will hear us, incidentally, the first bit that we're going to hear, first wacky bit from the Bit Vault.
The Bit Vault.
From 1985 is when we were calling Billy Reed, who is now, of course, known as Charles Broyhill. He has changed his name.
Yes, successfully.
We call Billy Reed to hear Smokey Rivers' views about Billy and the girls who listen to the station.
Mm-hmm.
This is typical Billy Reed wit.
Okay.
Now, even before I had been working with Mike, Billy Reed, at the time Charlie Broyhill, was a gopher at the station when I was doing the show by myself.
You saw the talent in him. You early on, you recognized that spark, that fire in his belly that he had that propelled him onto your show.
Well, the thing that's so funny about it is that, even back then he was a slug like he is now.
Right.
But for whatever reason, the ladies found him captivating.
Yes.
So I started doing this thing to give him dates. Had women call in the station, lonely women. We had one day for fat women, one day for skinny women, one day for divorced women, one day for black women, one day for Asian women. And he would go out on dates with women, and then I would have to pull the details from him. Well, one day, Smokey, and I think is this what this is about, when Smokey said we had to stop doing this?
Yeah.
Smokey calls me into the office one day and says, and Smokey Rivers, incidentally, this ties in, because he's the guy who's the operations guy for the station in St. Louis that we just signed on.
Yeah, brand new station.
He calls me in and he says, listen, man, you can't be giving Billy Reid dates anymore. And I say, why? Now, this is right before I'm going to go from doing the afternoon show to doing the morning show. And Mike, he says, you can't do this because I think the women really want to sleep with you. And I said, well, you know, knowing his track record,
right,
there's a very good chance that unless they're missing more than three limbs, he will sleep with them.
Of course he will.
Smokey came back and said, no. We're programming the station for women.
Can't do it, man.
Can't do it. So we had to stop it. We had to stop doing this great bit. So this is the first thing that we have from 1985 where we are trying to reach Billy Reid. We hear about Smokey's views about Billy Reid and the girls who listen to our station.
Okay.
So this will be the first look back. This is what the whole show's going to be today. Look back and people we worked with, and they're going to be calling in. Here's from 1985. Calling Billy Reid. Billy Reid, Billy the Man Slave.
Billy the Man Slave, who's got another Charlie and Harrigan story.
Hello.
Hey, Billy.
No.
Is Billy there?
Yeah, he's in the shower.
Would you go get him, please?
Well, he's in the shower.
So what?
Right, yeah, go tell him it's Don and Mike.
Yeah, we're on the radio right now.
Oh, man, that's hard. Okay, hold on.
Okay.
Sounds like Billy's surrounding himself with people much like himself, obviously.
Billy, man, when I did the afternoon show, Billy hung around. He wasn't like Mike. He wasn't a full-time sidekick, but he was on the air, and so was Frank.
Hey, my full-time sidekick.
Yeah. Nothing I like better than hearing that, too.
Billy got that's so my,
I had T-shirts made up that said that. Full-time sidekick.
Shit.
Yep.
I mean, you wouldn't believe it.
Yeah, they all. I mean, we go anywhere with the station.
Where's Billy Reid? Here's another good Smokey story. I was doing a bit one day with Billy Reid about Billy wants to date some of these women who are calling him up, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Smokey calls me in for a big meeting at 7 o'clock when I get off the air, 7 o'clock at night.
Listen, man.
That's exactly how it went, swear to God. You got to stop giving out these dates. Hey, Billy.
No, he's getting the soap out of his eyes and whatnot. He'll be here in a second.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
So anyway, Smokey goes,
hey, listen, man, you can't be giving away these dates with Billy Reid.
So I said, why not?
He says, well, because Billy's not going to want to sleep with these women, and these women are going to want to sleep with him.
And then they're not. Hold on, wait.
And then they're not going to listen to this.
You'll find one thing with these tapes. You'll find that Mike's laugh is true and genuine, just like it is today on the program.
Yeah.
Great sounding board. Great laugh when something's really funny.
Mm-hmm.
You will hear a cackle in the background already feeling the need to apologize for.
Yeah, and it's the only, it's still, whenever we play these tapes, it's the only real source of embarrassment is when we hear Johnny, who I took some, like, extra medication or something like that when he was doing that show.
They told him, John Nolan was our first producer.
And he had this kind of laugh.
They said to him, here's the important thing for you to do on the show. We had a snare drum.
Right.
Whenever something funny happened, he was supposed to beat on the drum, and he was supposed to laugh very loudly.
Because it was a zoo. It was a zoo, and it had to be that noisy zoo.
So you're going to hear this guy. You know, we're giving the weather, and the guy's going,
And that was, you know, it wasn't his real laugh. It was just him trying to make as much noise. That was just, he wanted all, he really, if there was any dead spot in the show, you'll hear him because he felt it was necessary to.
So that's what that sound is.
God.
Get back to 1985.
Women, and these women are going to want to sleep with you.
And then they're not. Hold on, wait.
And then they're not going to listen to the station anymore.
Because Billy didn't sleep with
them. I was like, I used to yell at Smokey, really. I said, wait a minute. You think that these women aren't going to listen to the station because Billy's not going to sleep with
them? Yeah, I'm serious about this, man. I'm serious.
Smokey's also the same guy who used to suspend me. Remember he used to suspend me, then come on the air and ream me?
Mm-hmm.
Smokey for Don. You know, I got to get some new stories. This is 10 years later. Yeah. We're still telling the same stupid story about Smokey.
A decade of hate.
Thinking about firing him. What do you think? Give me a call on the Smokey Show. Oh, man. Come on, Billy. Hurry up. We got songs to play, commercials to do. You won't hear us saying that anymore either.
10 years ago, he was moving at his own speed then, too.
We got songs to play, man. Come on, we got hot hits to play.
Billy doesn't
Is he
Come
there?
Come on, man.
Hey, Billy.
You don't know. You know I don't do this too often.
I know you don't. You're in the air. How you doing, Billy?
Wet.
Verify the story. Remember we were giving you dates on the air?
Uh-huh.
Remember the reason Smokey said we had to stop doing it?
Oh, yeah.
Tell him.
Because he was afraid that the girls that would enter would get turned down and there would be no favors and sex involved. Yeah.
Yes, of course.
And they would get turned down and therefore stop listening.
There you go. See you later, Billy.
All right, bye.
Thanks for getting out of the shower.
That's right. You know, I was expecting to hear music. I was expecting to hear some of that great 80s music. And Billy Charlie has made no progress whatsoever in that 10 years.
Not at all. If it's possible, he's moved back.
He's regressed. It's his regression.
That was something we did on the first hour of the first show that we ever did together. And I remember... I see here on the tape it was 2 minutes and 18 seconds long,
right.
And I remember us having a meeting with Smokey after the show where he said, show was great, except where you did that inside stuff that went over 2 minutes.
The inside stuff that has now become the cornerstone of the show.
The backbone of the program.
Sure.
Basically, everything that guy told us not to do, we are doing. Over the last 10 years, I have a list here of celebrities that we've had on the show.
Wow.
I don't know what happened to us and celebrities. We used to have them on a lot.
Right.
You know, now we're lucky if we get the Captain Janeway from Star Trek Voyager to call the program.
Al Molinaro on the phone.
Yeah, that's what it's come to. Thank you. That's exactly what it's come to now.
Always Al Molinaro, and he's always home.
We used to have celebrities, and we will be hearing today on the program tapes from Belinda Carlisle, Bananarama, Patrick Swayze, Jimmy J.J. Walker, the real Bob Hope, Regis Philbin, Andrea Kramer, Carol Channing, Werner Klemperer, Donny Osmond, Cher, Gene Simmons, Joe Gibbs, Gary Puckett, Casey Kasem, Charles Fleischer, Macaulay Culkin, Donna Summer, Bruce Wayne, that's a typo, that should be Adam West, Dr. Ruth Westheimer, we used to have her on the show a whole bunch.
She was a lot of fun.
Boy George, Ted Nugent, Marvin Hamlisch, David Lee Roth, George Harrison, Dennis Miller, and the late Lyle Alzado.
Yes, that's right. We had a great time with Lyle Alzado when he came by.
And besides those celebrity endorsements, we'll be hearing those tapes. We have more of the first show that we ever did together.
Mm-hmm.
We have a list that somebody has put together of all the people that we've worked with in the past, including some pretty insightful comments about some of them.
That's very scary.
And besides the tape that I have a schedule for over here, I've got all of these tapes, which I have been told are from the super secret archives.
Really?
Wow. That we have not heard for maybe 10 years.
Wow.
For instance, here's something from 1985.
You're just going to grab one of them?
I don't have. It's 4 minutes long. Don't have time to do it now. Show opened a top 10 list.
squirm.
We have tapes of us with that Jacko idiot. I think we may have played that one time on the program before.
He was hot for about 10 minutes.
Some old tapes of Bart doing the weather. And on the program today, for those of you who were listening to us back in 1985 with the New Morning Zoo, we will be joined by David Edgar.
Yeah, he was there.
He was kind of a gopher for the show.
Right.
Then you have David Haynes. Is David Edgar the one... No, I guess it was. I guess it was Ken Martin. Or was it him? The one time we were doing a remote.
Right.
We were down in Disneyland doing a remote, and it was just dying because the Disney people wanted us to talk about all the stuff that was going on. And we said, let's forget Disney. Let's take some phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
Said, okay, phone calls.
That was David Edgar.
Said, okay.
I think the first time that was Dave. No calls. That's what he said to us when we were down there, because he was back at the station, and he was funneling the calls to us down in Florida.
Right on the board, we were doing this show that was... I can't blame people for not listening, but certainly there must have been at least one person calling. We said, listen, let's stop talking to Mickey Mouse. Let's get some calls. There's no one calling.
Guys, no calls.
No calls. That's how he'll be known. Then we'll talk to David Haynes.
Right.
We went to the pet cemetery. We dug up the bones of Frank Murphy.
That's been a long time since I've even chatted with Frank.
That will be the tensest moment on today's program. On a show that will otherwise be filled with warmth and good tidings.
Yeah.
That will be the only real crucial
tense moment today.
Because if you use the analogy that this show is like heading down a highway,
mm-hmm.
Frank would be in our car until we pulled over at the halfway mark to get some gas, and then Frank just ran off into a field.
And became roadkill.
Became a roadkill.
Yes, he did. Johnny Nolan, our first Spaz producer.
Oh, God.
Bean's going to call the show today.
Good.
And Lou Katz from Q107. Jim Elliott, the first disc jockey, as I mentioned, that we ever got fired because we beat him in the ratings.
Then later we worked with him.
TK Tom Kent, Special K.
I'm looking forward to hearing from TK Tom Kent, find out what he's doing now.
And Big Al, your radio pal, Alan Goodman, joining the program today also.
Anytime Al calls is fun.
And all of these tapes. And we'll be taking your calls and your memories about the 10 years, the decade of service. And I know that somewhere in this building, Ken Stevens is waiting to congratulate us.
I certainly hope so. He is here. We checked that. He is here today.
I saw his car, and his door has been shut. Is Ken here?
Yeah, let's find out if Ken's here.
Do we know? That would be nice.
It would only be appropriate if he wasn't here.
Let me call the wonderful Miss Terry. Oh, here's Diana Silman. Hi, Dean.
Hi, he was here earlier. He went out to a meeting, and I've been told he's on his way back. He's been gone all day, all morning.
Hi, Terry.
Hello.
Hi. Do you know where Ken is?
He's in his office. He just walked in.
Did he have a big box with a big red bow on it?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Thanks, Terry.
All righty.
All right.
Bye-bye.
We are exhausted, too, after that press conference we had earlier today. The you know, just getting in here with the media coverage was very difficult.
A quick commercial break. As we start our second 10 years together, we will be right back.
The Don and Mike Show.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
These two guys are gonna get medieval on your ass. The Don and Mike Show.
Hi, we're back. We need your help. Tomorrow. Oh, yeah, it's 1985, the Hooters. You remember them?
Oh, yes.
The Hooters, not the restaurant Hooters girls from Philly, the Hooters.
The Hooters!
Tomorrow we're doing our big Christmas show. And we need your help.
Right.
I don't think this is too much to ask less than 24 hours before the event.
No, not at all.
We need a hook and ladder fire truck.
Yeah, the hook and ladder backed out on us.
Reason being, the hook and ladder... you heard that when the guy called the show, the fireman called the show last week and said he'd be glad to donate the fire truck for the Rabe human pinata thing. As it turns out, the fire truck is from Maryland. The location we have is Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
The captain, I can't hold her, didn't want the fire truck being taken from Maryland to Virginia.
Yeah, unless it's a real, like, emergency.
So we tried to say over and over, it's a real emergency. We got a Christmas show to do.
So we could start a little bonfire or something like that.
So we need a hook and ladder fire truck for the human pinata show tomorrow. If not, we do have a backup plan. Tomorrow's pinata show will go on as scheduled.
Tree limb?
One way or another, Rob Spiewak is getting in that harness, and he's going to be hit by people.
Yeah, we'll suspend him from something.
Take a whack. What did it say today in the newspaper? Wait a minute. This was actually pretty funny. In the Washington something. Where's the Washington Times at?
Hold on a second. The Times had something about it?
Yeah. I had it. Now I lost it. Had it, lost it. Story of my life. Welcome now to the program for our 10th anniversary. The man who killed Happy, the WAVA station parakeet. Here is David Edgar.
Now, wait a minute.
Hi, David.
I killed a parakeet.
Yeah, you'll remember, those of you longtime Don and Mike fans remember, when we worked at the other station, was it Goodman's secretary that had the pet parakeet?
Yeah, it was Linda.
Linda Villanueva.
Linda Villanueva had a lovely parakeet.
And we came in on a Monday after a weekend, and the parakeet was dead.
Yeah, never should have lived at the station, because that's where the danger happened.
And I think
it's boring in the overnight, you know. And
I think what happened was, yes, David was the overnight disc jockey, and he helped us out on the morning show. There were two schools of thought about that parakeet. The first school of thought was that you brutally killed that parakeet, David. And the second was that the parakeet was killed by Linda Villanueva's nonstop chain smoking, because she, you remember that? She smoked and, like, blew the smoke right in the parakeet's face.
Very heavy smoker.
Well, David, where are you working now?
I'm at B94 in Pittsburgh. I do afternoon drive on the assistant PD.
Oh, you're doing a show right now?
No, I don't go on until 4. I scammed a 3-hour air shift.
Oh, and you're in management, making your way into management now.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah?
It's fun.
And David, what would your big memory be? They should have prepped you on this.
Fondest memory.
I shouldn't be having to prep you on this, but yes, tell us your big anniversary memory.
My anniversary memory. Remember Lori Neff?
Yes.
Remember that morning when I But I put the microphone in the ladies' room.
Oh, yes.
In the trash can in the ladies' room.
That's right. The wireless, right?
It was the wireless microphone. You guys did some sort of broadcast in the parking lot. And it was like 4 o'clock in the morning. Lori Neff always used to come in at 5 a.m. on the nose and take a little trip to the ladies' room. And, well, I wanted to capture it for you guys so you guys could hear the activities at 5 a.m. in the morning. So I went into the ladies' room with the wireless microphone, took out the trash bag in the trash can, put the wireless mic at the bottom of the trash can, and then replaced the trash bag so that I could catch that on tape.
I remember, and the tape really wasn't that good quality, but there was something said at the end of
it. It was like, what a day.
What a day. And the key was her pulling off probably the entire roll of toilet paper. You could hear the roll of toilet paper.
Well, David, very clean.
You are right. That is your indeed place in Don and Mike's show history.
That's right.
And we had a lot of laughs that day.
Every time I go back to D.C., every time I come back to town, everybody says, you're the guy that killed that parakeet.
Yeah, now, be honest, once and for all, did you kill the... We had, like, and incidentally, if you killed him or not, we got, like, 3 days' worth of great radio out of it.
Oh, yeah.
We ended up having the trial of the century.
I think what killed that parakeet was its name, Happy.
Happy. Happy the station parakeet. And
creative name.
Yeah, I think I probably had a hand in the demise of Happy.
Oh, well, then, please, come clean now.
The statute of limitations is up, isn't it? It's been, like...
How did you kill the parakeet?
6 years. Oh, I used to lift up the cover and scream at it.
Ah.
At 3 in the morning, you know.
You think that's what did it?
Well, yeah, I mean...
It gave him a little parakeet heart attack.
Well, I certainly hope the statute of limitations is okay, Dave, because now we've got you for illegal wiretapping and also animal cruelty.
I'm in real trouble.
Although, that illegal wiretap.
That's right.
You never see the guy as happy that day. We came into work about 5:25, and he says, guys, come here. I got something you got to hear. I got a tape of Lori Neff going to the bathroom. And it was...
We didn't have a lot of old days. There wasn't a lot of exciting going on around there in those days.
All right, David, good luck to ye.
Well, thank you, and MPFGAWJFK.
Thank you, my friend.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
David Edgar, ladies and gentlemen.
There goes David Edgar.
He's an afternoon drive disc jockey now, just like we still are.
We're entertainers. I'm like, we're not disc jockeys.
That's right. We're not disc jockeys any longer. And he's going into management. He's making that terrible move into management.
Let me just say, that saddens me because back when he put the microphone in the bathroom to get the sound of Lori Neff going.
He's a rogue.
I didn't think that that's the type of guy who would ever sit on the other side of the desk.
That's spelled Pafama to you.
Yeah. I said, that guy's got a future.
Well, he's working with Buddy now.
Oh, we're all working with Buddy Scott.
Oh, really?
I imagine you don't need a microphone in the bathroom to hear when Buddy goes. You're standing within a 2 or 3 block radius, and he says that big butt down on the toilet. You hear about it.
And doesn't Buzz do an impression of that program director you used to work with?
Yes, he does, Buzz. Because I'll be honest with you. You are not a disc jockey. You have never been a disc jockey. You're not respecting the music.
That's the old jive. Got to respect the music. Every time Buddy takes a dump, all the water pressure in Pittsburgh goes down.
That's a guy I've never met. I'd love to meet him. I really would.
Big, huge, fat guy, in case you couldn't tell. Well, it's nice to hear from David Edgar. Here's a tape.
Just the one you were talking about before, the 4-minute job?
No, you know what? I don't have time to play that one.
Okay.
I don't have time for that one. We got time just for a short one. You want to talk about Charlie and Harrigan for a second?
Yeah, why not? These were our predecessors before we started working together.
Charlie and Harrigan were a legendary radio team.
Supposedly.
I guess that they had, like, big ratings back, I don't know, when Jesus Christ was a little boy and listening to the radio in Jerusalem.
Alan Goodman, our general manager at the time, and Smokey Rivers, the program director, put their giant craniums together to hire these guys.
These guys, one of them was, well, you'll hear them say their ages. They're both in their 50s, and they dressed like it, and they acted like it.
Lots of jewelry.
And they were doing the morning show at the time that the station moved me from afternoons to mornings, and then I worked with Mike. Here now is a brief minute of the Charlie and Harrigan program.
But we're about your same age. I'm 47. I think my Charlie is 50. And they've hired us to do a job here to turn this around and get the adults. And by the way, the ratings show that we really did we're doing a super job of it. But we saw this. We saw this HOV. I never liked it to begin with. And I think the whole Virginia thing is ludicrous. You can't have a radar detector. Oh, you know, has no one ever fought that?
That's the quality. That's the quality that they moved out to move us in.
Diana, do we have either Charlie or Harrigan for the 10th anniversary program?
Well, if I was a wagering man.
No?
Yeah, she said no. No surprise there.
Did you try to call him? Come in here for a minute. Did you try? Charlie and Harrigan?
Isn't that a fond memory?
And what was the big... We had some big fallout with them at the end.
You had a personal relationship with either Charlie or Harrigan.
The skinny guy, I think. No, it was
the bald guy.
It was
guy.
The big Hank Kingsley guy.
Yeah, that you did not part as friends. I forgot what that was all about.
Do you remember what that was? I remember, too, having a fight with him that, like...
It involved his wife and
something.
Yeah, and
like it got on the air.
Yeah.
I put her on the air and said that her husband's show sucks and...
And didn't he come... Somebody called you or came into the station. I don't know.
Actually, when I was listening to some of the tapes, I caught bits and pieces of that story, and these tapes weren't really good quality. But part of it was, I think Charlie or Billy or whoever he was back then had answered the phone once, and one of those Charlie and Harrigan guys thought that it was you and started yelling at him, thinking it was you. And then there was something involved with the wife, but that was like right before I got there. And no, I did not try to contact
them. They're good friends of ours. Absolutely. We send them Christmas cards.
All right, here's a tape now of Charlie and Harrigan. And this is with myself and Mike and Kim Anderson commenting in the background. Charlie and Harrigan, they moved these guys out so we could do the morning show 10 years ago.
WAVA.
Yes, I'm here to form a complaint.
You'd like to form a complaint?
Yes.
Or file a complaint?
Same difference.
Okay, we can form it and then we'll file it. Let's go. What's the complaint?
I've been waiting 2 weeks for my chicken shirt.
Why, those dirty guys in the promotion department. Have you ever heard of anything like that before in your life?
Never. I mean, when I won the tickets to the farm park, they came the next day.
Yeah, oh yeah, sure, yeah. It comes to chicken shirts, they go, oh yeah.
This was on the air.
Anything that cost over $1. These skin flints at this radio station.
I'm just getting too anxious, and I don't know if I can take it much longer.
Well, sir, first off, let me tell you, say that it does, they do say they cover their butts, but they say it does take 2 to 3 weeks to send them out. And the second thing is, if by the third week you haven't got your chicken shirt...
Somebody points two 50-year-old men having a conversation with a 10-year-old boy.
Calling him sir.
You are to call the promotion department of this radio station.
Now, where'd that ding come from? Are we playing that tape? Of them on the show, is that where this came from?
If we're playing their tape on our show, there's far too little commentary there. We should have had a lot of commentary by then.
Yeah.
At 534-0320.
All right.
Okay.
And say, I want my chicken shirt.
Oh, man.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, what's the last four numbers of that phone number again?
0320.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir. Thank you.
That was off our air. I've been told that is off. Aria, we were playing a tape of one of their lame bits.
Yeah, they made the controversial move of getting rid of those guys because, and there were, I'll tell you, lots of complaints when that happened.
Yeah.
And the weird thing was that you had these guys that were 60, you know, on a top 40 radio station, and they were talking to these kids and calling them sir.
Yeah. I want my chicken shirt. It's Maynard D. Man. Yes.
All their bits were very generic because they'd been all over the place.
There were a lot of them the same bits they'd done on their Dallas radio station.
And they had no knowledge of the area, nor did they care to have any knowledge of the area.
God, I'm so glad they were fired. We'll be right back. You know what? What does that say about me? I can still derive pleasure out of someone being fired 10 years ago.
I can as well because I heard the tape.
Let's toast. Here's the demise of Charlie and Harrigan.
Cheer. I heard the tape. There you go.
We'll be right back. More of the 10th anniversary program after this.
Radio God, Don and Mike.
John Prattis has a cold. Okay, John, here's a...
Laughter and tears. Don and Mike's 10th anniversary special.
Oh, yeah. I like that one.
I understand at least somebody has a gift for us today.
Oh, yes, I do.
Oh, wow. Sherry's bearing gifts?
This is just a little something. It's something that it represents recurring themes through the show.
Recurring nightmares?
Something like that.
Okay. Right. What is it?
A couple of things.
Open them
okay.
up. Okay. All right. See?
Thank you for the gift, Sherry.
You've wanted one of those for a while.
Oh, well, look, it's a... It's a monkey, Mike.
In a suit.
Oh, that's
finally
terrific. You got your monkey.
I wanted a real monkey, but this will do okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's a stuffed money.
Later,
a monkey.
Later we'll name it.
Guido and Stella. I believe this is either Guido or Stella.
No, that's Ken.
Ken the monkey.
I know, but it says here on the tag.
Oh, well, yeah. Just
Guido and Stella.
And they're just little tiny things left.
We finally get a monkey.
And you know, if we ever did get a monkey,
yeah.
This is how I would dress him, too.
Sure. Absolutely.
Like in little boy baby clothes.
Yeah. Sure, with the, you know, the little gondolier outfit.
We have. We have some gummy bears.
German gummy bears.
All right.
German from Germany. And this I'm going to pass over to you, Mike.
Okay, please do.
That you can share.
The simplest home test for hidden blood in the stool. Easy detect. Simple to perform. Easy just drop pad and toilet bowl.
Yeah, so as you get older, it's all the more important to do those tests.
Sanitary, no messy handling of stool. Well,
Thank you.
There you go.
Thank you very much. All right. Don, do you mind if I keep this?
No, help yourself.
Okay, that'll be great.
Hey, what, cards,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, a couple of cards, yeah.
Oh, well, now. It's much too nice. Buzz, I hope that... Hope you didn't go to this trouble.
No, don't worry, Don, I didn't.
We will miss you here at work. We're very sorry to see you leave. We'll miss you very much. We wish you all the best luck and hope you'll keep in touch. Best of luck, Sherry.
We will miss you.
We will miss you here at work, it says.
Okay.
You know, like...
Here at work.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I understand. Okay.
Right.
I'm sorry, I'm still looking at my easy defect blood in the stool exam.
And what is this card?
It's a Japanese card.
It's got Japanese writing inside of it. Happy Japanese Thursday.
Sure,
happy
that's very
happy
nice
Japanese anniversary, okay. Sherry.
You didn't have to thank go you and do all that.
Well, she did. Thank you, Sherry.
Oh,
thank
well,
you
you're very welcome. Much. I wanted to hit on a couple of things.
And I like the diagrams on this stool test. All right, thank you to Sherry, and thank you to Bio America.
And, Buzz, I know you're thinking about it.
Oh, yeah.
I know that you didn't get anything to actually celebrate the anniversary, but I know that you gave it some thought over the weekend.
Oh, sure, all weekend.
Probably that massive snowstorm we received that kept you in your house.
Exactly.
I think, Buzz, probably at the, you know, after we're off the air, will be a firm handshake and a good, cold look in the eye saying thank you. There you go.
Thank you, finally. Wow.
Wow. And Buzz is at the halfway mark, right?
You're, yeah.
Five years, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
5 years. And we will return the favor when you've been with us for 10, Buzz.
I'm sure you will.
There you go.
We will get you just what you got.
I expect nothing less.
I am just fun. And we don't look for anything from Buzz. And thank you, Sherry. Didn't expect anything from you or Diana or Bobo. There's only one person.
Yes.
We expect something from today.
Okay. Inadvertently, out in the hallway during the break.
Oh, my.
I got a little intelligence.
What was that?
It was totally unintentional. Buzz was standing next to me when it happened.
What?
Janora, one of our fine account executives here at WJFK in Washington, was walking by, and she had a bag with something in it. And
sweet Janora.
Just to make small talk, I said, hey, is that a gift for me, just like I would on any other day, as a joke?
Sure.
And she said, Buzz, I believe she said, I already chipped in
exactly
for you.
Those were her words.
Okay, which, now I don't know what that means, but yeah, that was exactly my reaction, too. That was exactly my reaction to
three it. Words.
I don't
ice cream cake. Three words. Guarantee it.
Yeah.
Guarantee it. After 10 years of excellence, an ice cream cake.
Right. Without even any trade, making the staff pay for it.
As we go back now, 10 years in time to December 11th, 1985. Oh, here's a little a tape with Frida, and then with Frida and Bart both on the program.
Okay.
First, here's a tape of Frida. You know, when we first started working together 10 years ago, she was a DJ on the station, but she had to use a fake name.
Right.
Because they didn't want her to know, they didn't want people to know that my wife was a DJ on the station.
Laura Petrie, right?
Sorry, here she is.
105 WAVA. Laura Petrie celebrating the Memorial Day weekend with tickets to Jake the Bee. Stick around, your chance to win is coming up real soon on 105.
Well, that's all that's left of her career on WAVA is one...
Is that it?
1 9-second snippet.
That's the only piece of tape?
That's it.
Wow.
And then we also unearthed this one from our show. Bart was doing the weather on the show. I think on this tape he's maybe 4.5 or 5 years old.
Do we have the tape when your son had the meltdown that one particular day?
That was on the album that we put out. I don't know if we have that tape or not today.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Diana Dewey, that would be a great one. He was only about 2 years old on that tape.
It was great. It was so cute.
Will you get that? Yeah, would you find that one? Okay, all right. Here's Bart, littler than he is now.
Hi, big guy. How are you?
Fine.
Okay, you got the weather?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Today is going to be sunny, and high not going to be 54. And of the roads are going to be snowy.
Bart.
And tomorrow is going to be sunny. I mean, today is going to be sunny. And tomorrow is going to be sunny. and it's going to be windy, so hold on to your hat, and it's going to be 52,
yeah.
Now it's 42, but the weatherman on WACA.
Yeah.
Boy, I feel old now.
Who's he again today?
I don't know.
Don't know.
He's just being goofy.
All right, goofy boy. So what are you going to do today? Bart?
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. What are you going to do today?
We don't know. We might shop.
Might shop. Oh.
Might shop.
That would be a change.
Hey, Dad.
Yeah.
You know, Kay, well, we saw these little itsy-bitsy radios there.
Oh, at a store you and Mommy went to yesterday?
A Pace.
Pace, yeah. Well, out shopping yesterday.
Yeah, Mommy does a lot of shopping, huh?
Yeah. Okay, we got to go. We got to go, big guy.
Okay.
Okay.
I can talk to Mom.
Well, I already had the pleasure.
Bye, Dad.
Okay, I love you.
Love you, too.
Okay, tell Mama that tell Mommy I love her.
What?
Tell Mommy that I love her.
Daddy loves you.
Depends on that, she hangs up the phone.
Just a little, click.
And he's had like little Ricky there for a second,
yeah,
didn't he?
Yeah, and that's, boy, that's when you get an idea of the time passing.
How old was he there?
I think he was four.
Yeah?
That was about 6 years ago. He was 4 years
Great
old.
Great job. Yeah. And Billy Reed sounded the same way.
Yes, he did. A quick break. We'll continue the Decade of Service show after this.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Two grown men who can't get enough of each other.
A decade of service. The 10th anniversary of the Don and Mike Show.
Here we are, and there you are. Thank you for listening in Tampa, Florida. On 1010 Talks, WQYK. In Lynchburg, Roanoke, Virginia, 105.9. The Line. And in Lockport / Buffalo, New York. Every day from 3 till 7 on WLVL. Oh, I am glad that I just read the call letters of that station. Today was the day that we were going to have the board operator from the Buffalo station get the barrel on and go to downtown Buffalo and apologize.
Yeah, do a little promotion for the show.
For what happened last week on the program. Well, last night in Buffalo, they got 36 inches of snow or something like that.
Yeah.
Something nutty. So the guy, now the way it was explained to me is the guy was still ready in his barrel to go to downtown Buffalo today,
mm-hmm,
and to stand on the street corner wearing nothing more than the barrel and the dunce cap,
right,
screaming the virtues of this program, heard every day on WLVL in Buffalo, we said, listen, 3 feet of snow means that nobody's going to be in downtown Buffalo.
Right. Yeah, we weren't particularly concerned about the board op. We were just concerned that no one would be able to get out and about.
So we're going to have to reschedule him for another day this week. So as soon as that can be arranged, we will let you know. The guy will be out on the streets of Buffalo wearing nothing more than the barrel and the dunce cap. Tomorrow, even if we don't get the hook and ladder truck, we do have a backup plan.
Good.
For the big Rabe is a Human Pinata show.
Yeah.
He will be... hold on a second. It's time. It's time for another voice from our past. Tomorrow, we will continue with the Human Pinata show at a location to be announced. So many things. Announced.
David Haynes. That's what caused that. That's David Haynes getting into our control room.
A location to be announced before the end of the program today. And tomorrow, you can come by and take a whack at Rob, no matter if he's hanging from a tree or from a fire truck.
Bueno.
Somebody will get $1,000. Now. Let's go back in time to 1985. When our newsman was not someone hip like Buzz Burbank, was someone like this.
You ready, David?
Yeah.
We are ready. You got 30 seconds. Go.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen.
That was his big bit on Friday.
Wow.
That was it.
Pretty impressive.
Used to know it was Friday when David Haynes was on the show.
I missed this big lug. Here is David Haynes.
Hi, David.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Hey.
Hi.
Handy dandy wrist warmers.
All right.
Hey, David, how are those long tongues of flame?
Red hot tongues of flame.
As hot as ever.
All right.
And you know, when I listen to Donnie's show, and David now works at WPGC with Donnie Simpson, when I hear you say, on the hardboard courts of the NBA.
Yes.
I know that was born on our program all those years ago. David, how the HE double toothpicks are you?
Darn good. How about yourself? Congratulations on your 10th anniversary show.
Thank you. David Haynes was the first guy from our show to leave because he had such a great offer. Things had gone so well for him on our show, and he still has a style all his own.
Yeah, and we had lots of fun. You remember when you were the king of Virginia? Remember when we did that for you, David?
Yeah, not a Burger King.
yeah, one of those classy things we did, putting you in a king suit and bringing you out to a hamburger joint.
David got offered a job in New York City with WPLJ and left, and we bid him good tidings, because I remember the day that David came in to tell me about it, says, I got an offer in New York for like five times the money you guys are paying me.
Wow. And you hugged him and said, go, because really...
I hugged him and I tongue in his ear and I gently ran my hand over the back of those double-knit slacks. Actually, David Haynes, listen to this. Are you ready? He has two kids now.
Wow!
Two kids.
Count them.
He is still married to the wonderful Joji.
You're still married to Joji?
Got that right.
Oh, that's great.
And we have two David Haynes memories that we'd like to share with you.
All right.
The first memory was when David one weekend just got up and got married.
Right.
And came into work on Monday. And we were doing the opening thing like, hey, here's what happened with the weekends, blah, blah. We go, David Haynes, what'd you do this weekend? Got married. And that was it. Just like nothing.
You caught us by surprise, David.
Don and Mike didn't have a clue.
Yeah, we didn't know. And you really, and we didn't believe you for a while. And I remember that finally you were looking at us. Yes, I did. I remember that.
And the other great David Haynes memory I have is the day that he got so pissed off. And it was really tough to piss David Haynes off, because he would go along with pretty much anything that we had doing. Do you remember what it was? It was Pat Robertson.
Mm-hmm.
Pat Robertson, who was running for president.
Who?
David, and David had this thing, which I think you'll find Buzz has a little bit. He's got this thing about his goddamn credibility.
Yeah, it's a discipline we have never been able to master on this program.
David did not see how he could speak about the upcoming election in an unbiased fashion.
Right.
When we were saying that he was openly campaigning for Pat Robertson.
Which was a joke, because he wasn't. And didn't you put a bumper sticker on his car?
Yes.
And that was it. Wasn't that it, Dave?
That could have been it.
Yeah.
He came in. He came to work that day. He was doing the show.
Right.
I tell one of the interns, go put the Pat Robertson for president sticker on his car.
Yeah.
He goes out to the parking lot. He sees it. Oh, and incidentally, is your wife still trained the way she was? You know, she used to bring him breakfast every day. Was it at 7:30?
Wasn't it 7:30 where she would come by with your breakfast?
Right to the radio station.
Oh, beautiful. Man. Wow. What a nice lady.
We were jealous.
Has your wife ever done that, Don?
Please, David. Never. Not once. Not once in her whole life. David gets the word that I put this bumper sticker on his car.
Yeah.
Came in, and this was not on the air. We were playing a record. He says, very businesslike, listen, I just can't take it today.
Right.
You're screwing up my credibility.
Mm-hmm.
Goodbye. I'm going home.
That's right.
And he got in his car and he just left.
That's right. And
right.
Did you come back the next day, or was it later that day? I forgot.
No, it was. I came back the next morning.
Next morning. That's right.
Yeah, the
that's
next right. day. No, but, you know, and I remember we were discussing, so how can you get mad at the guy? We had kind of pushed him into this Pat Robertson corner.
Sure,
and
absolutely.
If I don't respect anything else about it, at least I respect somebody who's got some guts and... Is not afraid to do what they think is right.
You know, my one of my favorite David Haynes memories is when you had that little porpoises saying. Do you still do that? That little corpulent.
The tongue twister.
Do you still do that? Could
sure,
you do that
no.
for us?
You wanted to? You really want to hear that?
Yeah, I'd like
to
hear
your little
tongue twister.
All right, it goes something like one hen, two ducks. Well, I'll do the thing straight through rather than keep going back.
Okay.
But you go one hen, two ducks, three squawking geese, four limerick oysters, five corpulent porpoises, six pairs of Donna Berzel's tweezers, 7,000 Macedonians in full battle array, eight brass monkeys from the ancient sacred crypts of Egypt, nine apoplectic, sympathetic, diabetic old men on roller skates with marked propensity.
He used to do it a lot faster.
Rock,
and 10 lyrical spherical diabolical denizens of the Pooh Hall and Stall around the corner of the Quay of the Queasy at the very same time.
Yay!
Oh, yeah, well,
yeah. You used to do it a lot faster, sir.
Yes, when I'm warmed up, when I've had a big cup of coffee.
When he's warmed up. Now, listen, on the radio show you're on now, and you're doing great, congratulations. Are you still doing, like, burnt toast and coffee time?
I sure am.
And when David would do a story, it was something like this. The long blue arm of the law.
Yeah, that's right. The best was Mr. Death left his calling card.
Yeah.
You still doing that?
No, some of that shtick works, yeah.
Have they tried to modify your delivery now to make you more 90s, David?
No, I don't think so. I still do, and it's Friday, every Friday, but I don't do the Mondo Turbo Extended 45 second.
Well, we miss you, you big lug.
Hey, one thing I remember about your show.
Yes.
It's when the strippers would come in for whatever, like a 1-year, 2-year anniversary, Don's birthday,
right?
And they would bring their music, and they would do their little strip right while Don and Mike were on the air, and they would get as close to Don as they possibly could while they were stripping.
Yes, they would. Yes, they would.
And Don would get the most glazed, distant look in his eye.
You should see what happens now, David.
That's a lot worse. It's just pandemonium nowadays.
That was tame compared to the program now, Dave.
Yeah, uh-huh. Clothes hit the floor, everybody's naked. It's terrible.
Now, David, as you go through everyday life, how often are you stopped by somebody and they say, David Haynes, Don and Mike show?
I'll bet that happens about once a week on an average.
That's great. That's good news.
Once a week. I somewhere or another.